hello. Thank you for being with us today. I'm excited for today's episode, but wanted to take a quick moment to talk about prenatal vitamins. As a doula, I encourage my clients to achieve optimal nutrition through food. However, even with the most thoughtfully planned diet, it is nearly impossible to meet the daily requirements through food alone. Ideally, you should start taking a prenatal before you find out you're pregnant, or as soon as you test positive. P.S. If this is you, congrats. Prenatal vitamins help nourish and support your body while helping you grow that cute little human inside. Nutrients like choline and folate in prenatal vitamins support healthy brain and spinal cord development in early stages of pregnancies. Prenatal vitamins are unfortunately not all made the same. My favorite prenatal brand is called Needed. I first discovered them through our Facebook community, actually. They are very supportive of our community and have secured 20% off to all of our mamas with code VBAC20. Go to thisisneeded.com and enter in code VBAC, VBAC20 at checkout for 20% off. Hello, everybody. How are you doing? I hope you're doing great. Right now, I can just tell you that my face is already hurting from smiling just from talking to our guest for like 5 seconds. We have our friend Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
Oh my goodness. She has just been the sweetest thing, just like pouring on the sugar, sweetening me up. I mean, really just saying just the nicest things about the VBAC link. And it's just been so fun to hear how the VBAC link was part of her life. And it just, you guys, I love this so much. Thank you for supporting this podcast. Thank you for supporting us on Instagram and Facebook and all the places. I truly, from the bottom of my heart, I love you. I know I haven't always met you, but I love you. And I love this community and I love what we're doing here. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And I just want to just say it really wouldn't happen without all of you. So really from the bottom of my heart, thank you. We do have a review of the week. So I want to jump into that. And then we're going to get into Amanda's stories and maybe even some more things. We'll see what this episode transfers to. Okay, so this is from Liz Judd, and it doesn't say where it was from, but it says empowering. It says, I found this podcast around week 30 of my second pregnancy by searching for VBAC. I had a traumatic C-section in 2019, and I knew I did not want to go through that again. It was helpful for me to learn evidence on VBAC, how to advocate for myself, and healing to listen to others' stories. I just had my second child by VBAC, and I thank you for the role you played in that. Oh, seriously, it warms my heart. And you just kind of said the same thing. You're like, you know, you carried me through my whole pregnancy. And then this was back when Julie and I took a big break, like a big 10-month break. And you're like, oh no, they're gone. But here we are, we're back. And I hope that we are carrying someone else or many other people through their pregnancy journeys as well.
I am sure that you are. And that review could not have related more to my story. So I can't wait to get started for you.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, well, without further ado, let's do it. Let's get started.
Here we go. So my husband and I met in 2004, which, yes, was 20 years ago. We got married in 2009, and we were just kind of like living our best lives. We were traveling, doing other things. I had lost 129 pounds, and I said, I want to run a marathon and have a baby. I was a group,
Dang,
yeah.
yeah.
I was even at like a group exercise instructor at the time. So like life was good. I ran the Marine Corps Marathon in 2015 in October. And then in 2015, December, I was pregnant. I got pregnant. So what was really special about that was we got engaged on Christmas Eve. So on the 10th anniversary of our engagement, I got to share the news with my husband that we were expecting. So
Yay, that's so awesome.
it was really special. But other than that, I really had no knowledge at all about, pregnancy, birth. I just knew that I wanted an unmedicated birth. Where I came up with that, I'm not sure, but I just was gonna trust my doctor. So yeah, that's where my brain was at. So I went to my normal OB that I had always gone to, and it was a very small practice. There were three doctors and a nurse practitioner. And up until this point, I had always seen the nurse practitioner. So she confirmed my pregnancy and she advised that I limit my exercise from what I was currently doing and to only maybe just walk and do some light cycling.
Oh
I
my
know.
gosh,
So
my OB said the same thing. I was wanting to run a half marathon. And he was like, "Oh no, you're having too much round leg pain. Just go for a walk." And I was like, "What? Okay." So I stopped working out.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. Now I know that was the first red flag of this practice, but
Yeah.
I didn't know at the time. I was just like, okay, listen to what the doctor says. So I just kept going to my appointments and I generally felt okay. But at my appointment check-ins, my blood pressure started to go be high. So they would put me into the room and I would lay down on my left side and they would have me do the whole appointment that way. And then they would check my blood pressure at the end and it would be okay. So they would have me come back in a couple days for a recheck and it would be okay. So we just kind of continued on that way until I circled through all the doctors and back to the nurse practitioner. She was really the only one who seemed a little more concerned than everybody else about what was going on. So I got back to her, and at one, she sent me to the hospital for a blood pressure monitor, but it wasn't super high. So they sent me home, but they told me to do a 24-hour urine collection. And so I did that, and my protein in that came back at 299. And she said, well, 300 is preeclampsia. So we're just going to keep monitoring it. So that, okay, that's exactly what I said. So meanwhile, I'm not exercising. I'm not, I'm just taking my prenatal and going to these appointments. So I didn't have any preeclampsia symptoms either. I had no headaches, no spots, no swelling. I just felt like yucky. And I just chalked it up to pregnancy. I thought, okay, I'm pregnant. This is what I should feel like. And meanwhile, people around me are pregnant. They're like, I feel fabulous. I love this. And I was like, I don't love this. Like, this is not great. Like, I'm excited to have a baby, but I don't love it. I also got carpal tunnel. So,
Oh, that is a thing, by the way, like
yes.
during pregnancy that people don't talk about.
They don't. And I didn't know about it. And my doctors were just like, oh, it'll go away when the baby's born. Go away when the baby's born. And I was like, okay, but I'm really in pain. Like, my poor husband has to cut my food. Like, I can't function here. So, I ended up finally, one of the doctors said, well, if it hurts that bad, you can go to hand or wrist doctor. And I was like, okay. So I did. And I ended up getting a cortisone shot because it was unmanageable. I had the braces. I was doing night braces, day braces. So that did help a lot. In the meantime, though, we moved from an apartment to a house. I was the matron of honor in a wedding. And then we moved into our house July 17th. Then I had a surprise baby shower August 6th. And August 8th, which was my 36th week, I had a non-stress test at the hospital. So I went into the hospital for the non-stress test. They took my blood pressure. The nurse didn't say anything. She's like, I'm just going to take it when it's over, which was something I had heard the entire time. So I do the non-stress test. She takes my blood pressure again. She says, the doctor wants to talk to you. I was like, okay, that's fine. So I go into this little room and the doctor starts saying things like not going home and going into triage and keep you pregnant as long as possible. So I was like, what? What? Like, I just couldn't even process those things. So I
And
go
there
over to
wasn't like any extra talk of like, this is why.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No. So I was, I called my husband. I was like, listen, you might want to come be with me because I'm not sure what's going on. So I go over to triage, which was just right around the corner, and I'm waiting in that waiting room for an hour. So they call me back. So I'm still not thinking there's any type of emergency. They take me into triage and they take my blood pressure, which was 214 over 111. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay. Well,
so at
that's a
that
thing.
point, yeah. So, and then everyone starts going a little bit crazy and they start giving me medicine. They have me only lay down. I'm not allowed to get out of the bed. And they start talking. I start hearing words like possible, seizure. And I'm like, what is happening here? So a nurse finally comes over and says, "We are going to admit you. We just don't know yet if it's to labor and delivery or high risk OB." And I looked at my husband. I was like, "Are we having a baby? Like right now? Are we having a baby?" And then at that point, though, that's when all the things started happening to me, and I was not a part of any of these decisions. And I realized, that that was a very high blood pressure, and I didn't really check it after that.
Yes.
But
Yeah.
they do take me up to labor and delivery, where the doctor starts with Cervidil. So this is on a Monday night. She inserts the Cervidil, but I had zero dilation. They also put me on magnesium. And when they did the magnesium, they also wanted to give me a catheter because they didn't want me to move. And I said, I don't really want that. Like I, at this point, I still felt fine. And nobody was really explaining to me
The
that this,
severity of things
yes.
and what
So,
was really happening.
right. So then they were giving me the saline. So it was just so much fluid. So I had to use the bathroom a lot. And so they were just letting me use a bedpan. And the nurses were so irritated by me. And they would just like stand there and watch me. And I just felt horrible. Like it just was a very uncomfortable experience. And then there was the magnesium, which
Ugh.
I
Blood.
just,
Thumbs down.
yes, it was awful. I just felt terrible. They also gave me a shot for lung development because I was
Just
only
36
36 weeks.
weeks.
Yeah. So my water broke on its own, but that is the only part of labor that I experienced at all with him. So after my water broke, they gave me a dose of Cytotec and literally nothing happened. Not one thing. So my blood pressure was still unstable. The magnesium made me feel awful. And then I was felt decreased movement. So I just kept telling the nurses, I can't feel the baby moving. I can't feel the baby moving. I was scared. And at one point, we knew nothing was happening. My husband and I actually called in the doctor and said, should we have a C-section? Like, is this what is going to be happening? And they said, no, let's just see how this plays out. And looking back, I'm shocked that that was the answer they gave me because of everything else that was going on. So they just kept doing cervical checks and they were very uncomfortable because I had zero dilation and I didn't know I could say no. In fact, one doctor came in. This is actually the doctor that ended up delivering him, and she said, "Do you want an epidural?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I don't even have any pain." And she said, "Well, then you need to let me check you." So I was just
Wait,
very
because you didn't want an epidural, then she had to let you.
right. I guess
What?
she was she, I, right. I think she was saying because like I was acting like it was uncomfortable. I mean, it was uncomfortable. I wasn't acting, but and then they gave me another dose of Cytotec. Nothing is happening. So now this is late Tuesday night. My blood pressure is all over the place. They keep giving me different doses of medication. I was on fire from the magnesium. Like I just kept saying this room is so hot. And they kept saying, but it's the coldest room in the wing. Oh, I don't care. I'm burning up.
Like my skin feels like it's on fire, so
Yeah, so they gave me a fan. So that was their accommodation for that. So it was around 12:45. So now this is Wednesday morning, like 12:45 a.m. The doctor comes in and she's just sitting on the end of my bed. And I was kind of like in and out of awareness. Like I remember like, having her be there, but the magnesium is terrible. And they just kept taking my blood pressure and she just kept giving me medication. And all of a sudden she stands up and she says, "We need to do a C-section right now." I still don't know to this day if it was a decel. Like, I don't know if it was his heart. I don't know if it was my blood. I don't know what happened that made her stand up. But I just remember watching that happen, the look on her face. They're laying me down. They're giving my husband scrubs. I'm signing all kinds of consent forms, laying down. And then they give me this awful drink for nausea and wheel me into the OR. So because I had the magnesium, they were like lifting me. I wasn't allowed to do anything by myself. And I forgot to mention, since I wasn't exercising or doing anything, I gained 90 pounds during this pregnancy, which, that was terrible, but I didn't know. So I wasn't small and they're moving me around and I get a spinal. And as soon as I got the spinal, I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to be sick. I just felt so nauseous. And I remember the anesthesiologist behind me saying, it's okay, we're ready. And other people saying, lay her down, lay her down. So they immediately lay me down. And then I vomit into the
Laying
bucket.
down. Oh,
Yes.
that's the most miserable feeling.
It was terrible. And, he was ready. He did have a bucket. He wasn't lying. But then they squirt something on my stomach. And I just remember saying, I can feel that. I can feel that. And the doctor says, yeah, but is it cold? And I said, no. And she says, starting incision. And she just is going. And I'm literally every time they pushed on my stomach, I was throwing up. So every single push and shove they did, it was awful. It was awful. But at 1:38 a.m., our first son was born, and there was one squeaky little cry, and then he stopped, and the NICU team got to work on him, and they're about to take him up to the NICU, and God bless my husband, he stops in front of the door, and he says, can she at least give him a kiss first? And so they brought him over real quick. I got a kiss, and then they took him away. So all was quiet. I was still nauseous, and I just remember the anesthesiologist saying, they're just putting you back together. Why don't you try to take a nap? I was like, right. So, needless to say, the bedside manner all the way through
Not
was
great.
not great.
No.
But once I got into recovery, I was just holding on to the fact that they said I could see my baby in 24 hours. So I was like, okay, I just have to make it 24 hours and they will take me to see him. I set an alarm on my phone. I am pumping. They gave me the pump. I'm pumping any colostrum I'm getting. I'm sending up to the NICU. But my blood pressure is still not settling down. So 24 hours goes by. I call the nurse. I'm like, it's 24 hours. Take me up to see my baby. Please take me up to see my baby. And she's like, well, first, we have to take your blood pressure. It was not good. So then I was like, oh. So she's like, wait 2 more hours, then we'll check. And meanwhile, I'm like, I just waited 24 hours. Now I have to wait 2 more. So they take my blood pressure again and it was fine. I was like, yes, I'm going to go see my baby. And they're like, well, actually, you have to walk and sit in this chair first and then we could take you up. Like, we have to take your blood pressure from this chair. So I sit in the chair. My blood pressure is not good. Oh, you have to get back in bed. We can't take you up. And at that point, I just lost it. I was like, I can't. I told my husband, I was like, you have to tell people, stop texting, stop calling. I can't, I cannot do this. I just don't understand, what's going on here. And I did not know it at the time, but after they got me back in bed, my husband went out into the hallway and he told the nurses, he's like, you have to take her up there. You have to take her up. She has to see that baby. Sorry. And finally a nurse came in and she took my blood pressure and it wasn't great, but she thankfully had a like I guess fewer patients, so she came up to the NICU with me.
With
She
you.
took She did take me up there. And after 32 hours, I finally got to meet him and hold him. But as soon as we were together, both of our healths dramatically improved. So my husband knew that that's what we needed. And I'm so grateful that he did that.
Absolutely.
So I ended up staying admitted for 5 days because they just couldn't get my blood pressure situated. And then our son, Jeffrey David, came home after 11 days. So physically, my healing was okay because I had 11 days of sitting.
Hanging out in the hospital doing not much.
Yes. And God bless my family and friends who drove me to the hospital every day to go see him. And some of them sat with me for hours and hours and hours just because I was by myself. But my he mental healing was not great. Because of everything that happened, I had just closed the chapter on kids. We were apparently one and done, and I was because I told my husband I am not doing that again. And I mean, I was on blood pressure medicine for 2 years after that, and yeah, it was bad. So I just said, I always wanted more kids, but I'm not going to do that again. That was terrible. So my son was about 2, and I was listening to a different podcast, and they were interviewing these two doulas who had VBACs, and I was like, who are these women? And then obviously it was you guys.
That's
And
awesome.
I went over and I found the VBAC link and I was like, oh my gosh. Like I didn't even know a VBAC existed up until this point. So I was listening to your podcast and I listened to all of the episodes. And then I finally said to my husband, listen, I found this information. It's really inspiring and really informative. And if we ever had another baby, this is what I want to do. And he is the most supportive person that exists. He is like my biggest fan and biggest cheerleader. And he was like, okay, that's fine. So with the list of questions from your website, I went and found a new OB who I interviewed, and I decided that they were supportive because, aside from answering all those things positively, she could also tell me the nearest provider that delivered VBAC twins and the nearest provider that did VBAC reach VBACs.
Wow, that's
So
awesome.
she said it's not here, but these are the two places you could go. And I was like, okay, I feel like this practice will work. And it was also much, much bigger. And they had two midwives on staff, which I was very interested in because I'm definitely more of a midwifery mindset. So in the meantime, I also went to pelvic floor therapy. And while she fixed a lot of internal things, she also did a scar release, which was very intense, but very, very needed. And I didn't know that until I had it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how uncomfortable I was just living my life all of the time and just how it
How
was amazing.
game-changing it really
Yes.
is. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, not even just for birth, for life, like you said.
Yes. Yeah. Like I couldn't even sit crisscross applesauce. I like just because of my head, so much tension in my hips and everything. So it fixed so much. So then my son is approaching 4 years old, and one night we're saying our prayers, just he and I, and at night, and he says, and I pray for a baby in mama's belly. And I was like, what?
What did you just say?
Yeah. So, but, and I don't know, like, there's no one pregnant around us at the time. Like, I didn't even know at that time that he knew that, like, babies and bellies were a thing. And that continued for weeks. And I never once reminded him. Every single night, he would pray for a baby in mama's belly. So we finally, I talked to my husband. I was like, listen, we need to address this one way or another. We either need to tell him that that is not happening, or we need to have a serious discussion. And so, since I'm here, you know what we decided on. And
Spoiler alert.
we were blessed with a second pregnancy. Now, the day I took that pregnancy test, I went on the VBAC link website. I looked up your doulas and I found doulas in my area. And I just kept scrolling back to this one profile that just kept speaking to me. And her name was Mallory, and I sent an email to her. It was just seeking doula, have questions. And she wrote back to me, and that is actually who I ended up having as my doula. And we just, so she was literally with me from day one. But I started this pregnancy, advanced maternal age, because I was 35 at the time. And I was plus sized. So while I wasn't as, I wasn't 90 pounds heavier. I had lost some weight, but I was still, had a higher BMI. But I also consistently worked out 4 to 5 times a week, and I was loaded with information. So I had a new OB, and I instantly became their worst nightmare. I know it because
Because you had all the information. And
did.
that's something that, let me just tell you, like, providers, I think it catches people off guard when people come in and have information and they're like, oh, whoa, this lady knows what she's talking about. And like, that's the thing. That's how it should be, right? We should know
Yes.
what we're talking about.
I agree. I always say I wish there was like a second time mom the first time, because like I just went in armed with so much information that I never would have gotten if I didn't have such an awful experience the first time. So I started taking a baby aspirin every day just because of the blood pressure
Preeclampsia.
issues before. Yeah. This is a much larger practice. Like I said, they had two midwives. And as I rotated through those doctors, I realized that some are supportive, some were tolerant, and some were scared.
Oh, yeah. I like that you say that.
Yeah.
Scared. Because
Yes.
I think that's the case with a lot of the quote unquote unsupportive providers. I think they're scared or scarred.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good
Maybe they
point.
just haven't had a great experience.
Right. So, along with all of this medical information, I also am, very strong in my faith, and I was having a hard time. Like I was having an internal struggle because I had all of this information and I wanted this so bad, but I was struggling with the fact that, like, what if that wasn't God's plan? So I was like, I was fighting for all this stuff, and what if it wasn't his plan? And I actually shared that with my doula, Mallory, and she actually said to pray then, if this is not your wish, then take the desire away.
I just gave you the chills.
I prayed, and I wanted to share that because it changed me so much. And I prayed it every single day of my pregnancy, and the desire never went away. And I felt like it was okay. Because I was able to pray that and the desire was never going away, I just felt so strong and just continued, going along in this happy, healthy, fast pregnancy. There was no physical issues. I had no carpal tunnel. I gained a total of 16 pounds total. I mean, I worked out up until 39 weeks. Like at my 39 weeks, I was doing body pump, lifted the weights over my head. And the instructor was like, "How long are you going to do this for?" And I was like, "Actually, I'm all done today."
Today's the last day.
Yes. If I knew though that I was going to go to 41 weeks, I probably would have kept going. But I just wanted some time to like be done with the gym and just kind of get in the right mental space. So at 30 weeks though is when the support started to waver a little bit. There was more questions, about heart D cells and, reminding me of the continuous monitoring. And at 32 weeks, I was having a scan to make sure baby was head down. And I had been going to the chiropractor this whole time, and this baby liked to hang out transverse. So before my 32-week appointment, the night before, I went to the chiropractor and I was like, "Listen, I know you've been doing the Webster the whole time, but I have an appointment tomorrow. They're checking to see if he's head down. What can you do?" He's like, "I got you." So I don't know what he did, but I was driving home from the chiropractor and it felt like I was on a roller coaster. Like, you know how your belly does that flip? It was so intense at one point that I actually pulled over and just like chilled for a minute. And it was just so much movement happening. And the next morning I went to my 32-week appointment and he was head down. So that was pretty cool. Then at 36 weeks, they started to pull the big baby card. Which they gave me an ultrasound and they said that the baby was measuring 11 pounds. And I said, "That is impossible." I said, "First of all, there's no way he's 11. I gained 16. There's no way 11 of that is him. There's no way." And then they were like, "Well, you do have a high BMI." I was like, "That does not mean that he's going to be a big baby." And I had the article, that I brought with me about all the evidence, and I declined a rescan. And that blew the receptionist mind. I
I'm
said, "No,
sure.
I'm not." And she said, "Well, the doctor said you have to." I said, "I don't have to though. So I'll make my next appointment, but it's not going to be for an ultrasound." So that night, I actually got a phone call from a doctor who was like, "Why did you decline the scan?" And I said, "Because my baby is not 11 pounds. He's not." So we had a big conversation and we agreed on a different type of scan. Now, I can't actually remember. I apologize. I can't remember what kind it was. It was just they took different measurements. But at that one, he measured 6 pounds and
What?
was.
That's a dramatic difference.
I know. And where I thought, that's kind of where I thought he was going to be in my head. So then I was given the green light to proceed with the way I wanted to. And this whole time, I just had such amazing support, from my husband, but also from my doula. She would check in before every appointment. She just was amazing. And, I would be in the parking lot and the text would appear, "How are you feeling about this?" And then when I would come out, she would check in with me. In fact, even before recording this podcast, I got a text from her, "How are you feeling about this?" And I was like, gosh, she is a gem. But I
We
got the
should have
green light.
had her on. We should have had
I
her
know, I
join
did
me.
think about that. I feel so bad.
That's okay. That's
Yeah.
okay.
But she's got a new newborn of her own. So
Oh,
I know it's
yeah.
wonderful. So at 36 weeks, I also started to get the on-call schedule of all the doctors. I would say, who is working this week? And I would keep it in my phone so I knew who would be working because there was one doctor who, at an appointment, told me directly that she is terrified of VBACs.
Oh,
So I
okay.
knew that if I should avoid her at all costs because I just knew that if I had her, she would find some reason to deem a C-section worthy.
taking a quick break to continue our earlier conversation about the importance of the right prenatals for pregnancy and beyond. As I mentioned, my favorite brand is Needed. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally intensive times for a woman's life. You don't have to feel so terribly nauseated or so depleted in the postpartum stage. A prenatal multi that optimally nourishes you can make all the difference between just getting by during and after pregnancy and feeling your very best. Let's not just survive, we definitely need and deserve to thrive. Needed is clinically backed, third-party tested, and formulated the best, in my opinion, prenatal vitamins. They took so much time to learn about women and why we are getting the bare minimum nutrients, and then designed the supplements that addresses women's needs at every stage of pregnancy and beyond. Needed's prenatals are filled with the optimal amount for both you and your baby and include important ingredients such as choline, folate, vitamin D, and more. Enjoy 20% off at thisisneeded.com with code VBAC20. That is thisisneeded.com and use code VBAC20. Back to today's episode.
So throughout this pregnancy, I'm doing chiropractic care. I'm drinking the raspberry tea. Blech. I ate the dates when I was supposed to eat the dates. I also went back to pelvic floor therapy and told them that, you know, I want to have a VBAC, help me prepare for that. Yeah. And that was wonderful. I became so passionate about this whole thing. Everyone knew, like my poor coworkers, they had to listen. But if there was anybody around me that was pregnant and getting a C-section, I would have to tell myself, they didn't ask you. They didn't ask you. Don't. They didn't. They don't want a VBAC. Don't.
I know. Yeah.
I also got acupuncture because, you know, I just trying all of the things.
Yeah.
So also in the Facebook group, I found someone was offering Catholic, the VBAC link Facebook group, someone was offering Catholic affirmations that they had made. So she shared that file with me. So I had them all printed out. I was ready to go. And then my due date comes and my due date goes.
Hello, goodbye.
Yes. And I had never been pregnant past 36 weeks before. So I was like, well, this is pretty awesome, but I felt incredible. So I still was coming to work. I came to work on my due date and my principal was like, I did not expect you to here today. And I thought, don't underestimate me, just like those doctors, just I'm yeah. here. So on a Monday, I was 40 plus three, and I had an appointment, and I saw a midwife at the practice who was actually a VBAC mama herself. And she and I just had this vibe, and I was like, yes, I love her. And I knew at that appointment at 40 plus three that I was going to ask for a membrane sweep. So I did, and she tried, but I wasn't dilated at all. But she was like really giving it her best shot, but I just, she couldn't do it. So I felt fine. I was fine with it, but I was also started a little disheartened because I knew that pressure was going to start coming from the providers.
Yeah.
You know, so I did, this is where my, I guess, BMI came in handy, because I could qualify for an early induction because of that. Because I also, like I said, I had the work schedule, and that doctor who's terrified of VBACs was working on Friday.
So just a couple days later.
Yes. So because this was Monday at this point. So I scheduled an induction for Wednesday. So I was like, okay, let me give myself, you know, a couple of days to see what I can do. But I also knew I didn't really want to go too far past 41 weeks, because I know at 42, the risks go up. And I just, you know, I knew time was, you know, of the essence. Right. So after that appointment, I go back to school and I'm standing on the playground with my partner. There's all kindergartners running around all around. And I felt this like intense squeeze in my belly. And I looked at my partner who has had three babies, and I was like, oh my God, what does a contraction feel like? And she told me, and I was like, I think I just had my first contraction. And so like we were just like cheering out there. And they continued every 10 to 12 minutes for all the way through Tuesday. I'd come to work on Tuesday. I was still having contractions, but they weren't increasing in intensity, you know, so it was
Yeah,
okay.
just happening.
So, but Tuesday, I did decide to leave work early. So I just checked in with my principal and I said, you know, I think I'm going to go home. I think being in a better headspace, you know, knowing I'm home and relaxed might help. And as I was leaving, one of my coworkers who had a C-section a couple, you know, several years ago came up to me and she said, there are a lot of women who would love to be in your shoes. So good luck. So I thought that was really special. And I appreciated that. And I knew, like, I was like, yes, I'm doing this for me, but for a lot of people. So anyway, sorry. I was in constant contact with my doula. I go home, my contractions are increasing to like 7 to 10 minutes apart. They're more intense at night. Now they're like 5 to 8 minutes apart. But I still decided to go to the hospital Wednesday morning for the induction because I know my body. Like with my first baby needing the NICU, I knew that as much as I would dream of a home birth, I know that I was afraid and in case intervention was needed. And I knew that maybe my body would just relax when I knew I was in the place where the interventions could be if I needed them. So I send my son to preschool and I go into the hospital with my birth plan and all the things. And I tell the doctor, I want a Foley, but no Pitocin. And he was like, And then he watched me have a contraction. And then he said, are you having contractions? And I said, I am. He said, okay, we can do it then. So I got the Foley, and he also, when I was talking with him about my birth plan, he said, listen, we all read it and we want this for you. And I just thought that that was a cool thing for him to say.
Validating.
Yes. So one of the things, so I'm in New Jersey, and here VBAC after two C-sections is not a thing. So I knew that this was really my chance. And I also knew that I really two was enough for me. Like I knew I wanted, you know, two children to make our family complete, and that was it. So one of the things for a VBAC here in the hospital and with the practice is continuous monitoring. And trust me, I tried to not have them do that.
It's a fight. It's a real fight if you decide to try to fight it. And that's really common everywhere. Continuous fetal monitoring is usually like pushed really hard. And it's one of those things where it's like, is it worth fighting for? Is it worth fighting for to you? Like you have to weigh it out. And because you really do have to kind of put up a fight.
And I tried, but like you said, I wanted the VBAC more. So I was like, okay, fine, we can do this. And they did thankfully have a portable monitor because I really wanted to labor in the shower. So they had a portable monitor. It could go in there. I was like, good, we're golden. But then my baby did not want to be on the monitor. So he kept like just falling off. But there was no ever, there was never a decel, there was never a concern.
Just loss of heart rate because baby
Because
didn't
the
want
monitor
baby
moved.
move it away.
Yes. So at one point, one of the midwives, not the VBAC midwife, the other midwife, she comes in, she says, we're just going to put an internal monitor in. And I remember my doula looked at me and she said, do you know how they do that? And I said, no. So then she explained it to me and I declined.
Yeah, because
So
they
I
do
said,
have to break your water to do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. My water did break.
Oh,
So
your water did
yeah,
break.
I apologize. I missed that. Gosh darn it.
Or
I was
maybe
trying to.
I might have missed
No,
that.
I missed it. I missed it. But I didn't want the internal monitor. I just didn't feel like that was right for me. I was like, I'll just keep struggling with this. He's safe and happy and comfortable. I'll be fine. So everything was going fine. My body was doing it. I didn't need Pitocin, and I was loving labor. Everything that I had practiced and done, and just my headspace was good. And I had listened to some fear release meditation prior to this, and it was just wonderful. And I was like living in labor land. It was wonderful. And then shift change happened, and the night nurse came, and the night nurse was very, very intense. My day nurse, she would kind of let that monitor like ride a little bit without being on. This night nurse was not having it. Continuous monitoring meant continuous monitoring. And she felt that she needed to do that 3 inches from my face and on with her hands just pressing and touching me, and I really was feeling very overwhelmed by her. So I was trying to ignore her, and they brought in like the bar, and I was like laboring on the bar, and it was wonderful. But she was, I still remember, I could smell her breath through her mask. Like I just, it was too much. She was too much. So I said, please, can I labor in the shower? And then you can, like, then we can like get together. And she was like, okay, as long as baby stays on the monitor. And I was like, please, baby, stay on the monitor. So I get in the shower and I was like, okay, we're fine. Life is good. This is wonderful. I feel great. I'm rocking. It's great. And then I hear the bathroom door open and I turn around and she is standing there in a full raincoat. She's got a head cover.
A
She's got a plastic gown
raincoat.
on, plastic shoes, and she comes in the shower with me and
Oh,
is trying
dear.
to adjust this monitor. And I lost my mind. I don't remember what I said, but all I remember is screaming at her and and her leaving, but telling me I had to come out of the shower. So she leaves and I walk out, and my husband and my doula are just like snickering because I just kicked her out. But I was like, why is she in the shower with me? So I get dried, I get redressed, I'm back in the bed, and she's back. And then my blood pressure starts spiking and I start hearing high blood pressure. And I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. Like,
It's her.
right. But I got scared because
Yeah,
of what happened before.
of
And I was
course.
like, I can't have this. So I remember Mallory, she looked at me and she said, do you want an epidural? And I didn't initially want one because I wanted to feel this. I wanted to feel all of this. And she said it would just be a tool to reach your ultimate goal. Now, I knew two things at that time. It was one, an epidural would help keep me still, which was going to keep this monitor on. And two, it's known for bringing blood pressure down. So I agreed. And I was kind of sad about it, but I knew ultimately I was going for the VBAC. That's what I wanted. So I had to keep that in my sights. So in my head, I was like, okay, I didn't say this out loud, but I was like, if I am 6 or less, I will get an epidural. So I had a doctor come in, I got a check, and I was 6. And I was like, oh. So I decide I get the epidural, and obviously it doesn't work. So I get a second epidural.
Oh my gosh.
It was lovely, but that one did work. And that brought my blood pressure back to normal. And I was still, but then, man. Between my husband was helping my doula, and that she had the peanut ball, and she was still moving me, and she was holding that monitor on. She was watching that monitor for me. It was just amazing. But the problem was the epidural stopped my contractions.
Yeah,
So
that is a downfall.
yeah, so then I did consent
That
to
can
Pitocin.
happen.
Yeah, at that point, because everything had stopped. So I had the epidural, I had the Pitocin, things were progressing, I was dilating. We were moving me as much as you can with the epidural. And then around 4 p.m., my epidural wore off and I felt it wear off. And I was like, oh my gosh. And at 4:45, the midwife came in and she checked me and she said, oh, you're 9 centimeters. This is wonderful. I'll be back in a few hours. And I'm thinking, a few hours? I don't feel like I have a few hours here. And then I felt my body start pushing all by itself. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But I was like, you have to get her back here. I know she said I was just 9, but you have to get her back here. She came back and she said, oh, you're 10 already. Let's do a practice push. And I was like, wait, I need the mirror. Where's the mirror? I want to get the mirror. So there was a full-length mirror they brought in, and I thought there was going to be like some like little hand mirror
Hand, yeah.
situation. So I was really happy with the full-length mirror that came in. And she said, let's do a practice push. And she's like, oh, you are an excellent pusher. We've got this. So I'm watching in the mirror and I hear from the hallway, don't let her push until I get in here. And it was the doctor that I originally interviewed. She came in, she said, I want to see this through. Now, meanwhile, I had not seen her throughout my entire pregnancy as one of my providers, but I just thought that was so cool that she remembered that and came in for this. So it was a midwife, not the VBAC midwife, but another midwife, and her were there with me. And as I started to push him and his head came out, the midwife said, Oh, his, do you want to feel his head? And before I could even answer yes, which was like, the doctor said, oh, she does, and takes my hand and like, and
Oh.
I feel him. So I'm pushing, I'm watching my midwife, I'm sorry, my doula is taking pictures. And all of a sudden the midwife is blocking the mirror. And I'm like looking at her and I'm
Yeah.
like, get, you can't see. And I'm like hearing her say, Amanda, Amanda, Amanda. And finally I look over and she's blocking the mirror because she is holding my baby in front of me.
Oh my gosh, no way.
I was like, oh my gosh. And then I'm looking at him, and then there is a bright light behind him, and I feel this moment of peace, and I feel in my heart, and I hear it is done. And I just know that, God was there with me the entire time, and I'm so grateful for that. And my husband got to cut the cord, and I got to hold him immediately. Well, we didn't cut the cord until, it stopped pulsing, and he was so cute. He's like, she told me to wait till it's white. Is it white? Is it white? Is it white? So it was just wonderful. And he cut the cord. I got immediate skin to skin, and I got to do his first latch right then and there, which was so different than my son. And it was just such a redemptive, wonderful experience. And I just am so grateful to the VBAC link for just seeing me through it and for giving me the information and just the inspiration to even take this on. Because if I had never found you, I don't know for sure if I ever would have gone through with it. So thank you so much for that.
Oh my gosh, you are so welcome, and thank you for sharing this beautiful story. I'm looking at your photo right now, and oh my heck, I don't know who took it,
My
but
doula, she took
okay,
it.
Bailey, is that what, who did you,
Mallory.
Mallory killed it with this photo. I mean, seriously, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
I
Thank
highly suggest if you are listening right now, head over to Instagram or even Facebook
you.
and go check out this absolutely empowering photo. The emotion, oh, like, oh, congratulations. I'm
Thank you.
so
Thank you.
stinking happy for you.
Thank you. It was quite a journey, and I just wanted to add one more thing if I could.
Yes.
I got to nurse Jeffrey David eventually, my first baby, once at NICU, but it was a rough time. And then with Charlie, my second, I got to latch him right away, and I am still nursing him now, and he'll be 3 in June. And I just want to
Yay.
say, just like you get doula support for your birth, get yourself some lactation support if breastfeeding is the way
Hundred
you want to feed your baby.
percent,
Yeah,
hundred
so
percent.
I use my friend Lauren. She's from Cozy Latch Counseling, and she has seen me through this entire process. I went back to work. I was able to pump and provide milk, and now, like I said, he's almost 3, and I'm still able to do that. And if I hadn't had that lactation support, from the very beginning, I don't know if that journey would have been as successful as it was.
Yeah, I mean, I full on believe having lactation support even before the baby's here to talk about it, talk about your plan, discuss what you're wanting, your desires, your needs, and then getting that help right away, even if it's your second, third, fourth, fifth baby, like everyone's so different. And I love that you brought that up because definitely we are passionate about that for sure. As you know, or if you've been listening, we love Lactation Network. So we absolutely 100% would agree with you on that. Oh my gosh. Well, my face is just so happy. Like, can you just see my face right now?
I can.
I'm just smiling so big. My cheeks are kind of like throbbing a little bit, but that's like a good thing. I'm just so grateful for you. This is such an amazing episode, and congratulations again.
Thank you so much.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to the vbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC link.